It's KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. After the September 11th attacks, there was a man who dressed up as Captain America and started hanging out in New York's Central Park. He did not look much like what we think of as Captain America. This man is thin, has a long beard, he wears a turban. His name is Vishwajit Singh, the Sikh Captain America. And he told me how the whole thing started with a cartoon called Try to Find the Terrorist.
There was a fast-rotating image, and you had to click on these men, bunch of men, white, brown, and you click on them, and you got introduction to them. There was a Muslim man who owns a deli. There was a Latino guy. There was a Sikh man. And there was a white man. So you have a lot of characters, and you got introduction to them. What do they do? What is their name? And then you click on the white man, Joey, who committed a hate crime against Iqbal, who is a Muslim guy. And the point Mark was trying to make is Joey, by committing that hate violence, was being a terrorist. That was a profound point because we use that word sparingly.
That idea, who gets called a terrorist and who doesn't, spoke to Vishwajit. He thought, why aren't there more cartoon characters that look like me? And then he thought, maybe I should learn cartooning. So he did.
The first Captain America movie had come out in, I believe, 2011, and I was heading to my first New York City Comic Con that year as an exhibitor to showcase my work. And I said, you know, I need to create a new banner that's going to sort of excite people and bring them to my booth at least, because New York City Comic Con is big. And I had this poster of Captain America in a turban and beard with a very sort of catchy caption saying, take it easy, it's a turban. Underneath is my long unshorn hair. Let's kick some intolerant ass. And so it caught people's attention. They were like, hey, what's, you know, thumbs up, taking photos. And some people were like, why does Captain America have a turban and beard? And so that started conversations. And a photographer, Fiona Booth, based in New York City, who at the time was doing a photo essay on Sikhs in America, and I was one of her subjects, she was taking some photos and she said in passing to me, Vishwajit, come back next year dressed up as Captain America. And I said, no. She didn't ask me why, but I knew my reasons. I'm a skinny guy. I know listeners cannot see me right now, but I'm a skinny guy. I've been bullied all my life for being skinny, for having glasses on. I've survived a genocide as a young kid. And then post 9/11, my life has been challenging, right? People call you all kinds of names, Osama bin Laden, Taliban, now it's ISIS, go back home. So that it's hard. So it took Fiona almost a year to convince me. And part of that convincing involved another tragedy, the Milwaukee massacre at a Sikh Gurdwara on August 5th, 2012, when a white supremacist killed six people on a Sunday morning. That kind of convinced me to get out of my own way. And she got me a uniform from Hong Kong, teenager size, and I put it on June 2013, stepped out into Central Park, and I was nervous. I was really nervous, sweaty palm, because I thought people were not going to receive me well in Captain America uniform.
May I ask you, what was going on in your mind the moment before you, for the first time, stepped into the public square dressed as Captain America?
Incredibly nervous. I am naturally a shy guy. I'm not somebody who wants to stand out. And add to that, everything post 9/11. I was incredibly nervous, very aware of my own body and being skinny, and almost felt naked that I was going to go out in this skin-tight leotard uniform. So I felt exposed.
Do you remember the very first person who saw you or who you locked eyes with?
Yeah, I remember. There were a few people who were looking at me, but the first person who engaged me was a tourist who came up to me, of all the people out there right next to Central Park, at the edge of Central Park, and she comes to me and asks me for directions. And I thought it was kind of interesting.
That was the interaction? She'd ask you for directions?
That was the first one, yeah. I'm like, that's, you know, maybe she felt, hey, I'm going to go to this American-looking superhero. I don't know if she knew Captain America, but she's like, I'm going to ask you for directions. And at that moment, I was giving her directions. You know, I could see people behind her. There was like this group of people who just started kind of circling her, and they were getting their cameras out and they were taking my photos. So that's the first memory I have.
The way you're telling it now, Vishwajit, it sounds like you were mostly welcomed.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was one of the most amazing days of my life. I felt more than ever in my life that day, like everybody, strangers and others, they embraced me like, wow, you know, you're one of us. You're special. I mean,
you're one of us. You're special.
Yeah.
That's an interesting two sentences to go together.
And in a weird way, I felt like a celebrity too, because I was getting all this attention from strangers. I mean, hundreds of hugs, and people were following me, taking photos of me. And yeah, so it was a strange day. I mean, I still remember a lot of parts of it, and it was a strange experience. And, you know, I thought it was the last day I was going to do this, but, you know, there was something, you know, bigger going on there, and I've been kind of, you know, doing it ever since.
Yes, indeed. In fact, you're in Seattle here with me because you're at the Wing Luke Museum. You give presentations, workshops. What do you want those visitors to know?
I think, you know, when the visitors come in, you know, they'll come in with their assumptions. Some will know a little bit about Six. I want them to come in with that, and they will get to see a little bit about my background, where I was born, Washington, D.C., some photographs. And then they'll get into cartoons. They'll see a lot of cartoons. Some are going to make them smile and chuckle right away. Some will educate them. And some are going to, you know, catch them maybe a little unaware. Some are a little edgy, and they will hopefully shatter their stereotypes, shatter little misperceptions, and, you know, some will make them, you know, think and ponder and go like, ah, you know what, I see, you know, or maybe I connect to, you know, what he's saying. Maybe that's partly my experience too. And, you know, you'll get to see a few turbans that are also part of the exhibit, because I know the turban is such a mysterious thing for Americans, and I understand it. It's new to a lot of people, and people want to know, you know, how do you wear it? What's under it? Do you take it off at night? Do you shower with it? Those are questions I get from kids, not from adults, because kids are honest, you know, they'll ask you those things. So you have a few turbans you'll get to see as well that are hanging from the ceiling. There are some banners in there that I carry sometimes on my missions to different events as, you know, dressed up as Captain America. I think people will come out of it knowing a bit more about who Six are, but even more importantly, realizing, you know what, humor and cartoon art are powerful mediums by which we can all find connections.
Vishwajit, we've been talking about how other people see you. How has your Captain America experience changed you inside?
Well, it's given me a certain level of confidence for sure. The first few times I wore the uniform, I was very nervous. I still get a little nervous, but I have that confidence now that I can put out my body. You know, I've had body image issues all my life. I've been a skinny man, so I'm very aware of my body. I used to wear clothing one size up. My wife had to kind of get me out of that to sort of heal my own body image issues. So in some sense, yeah, well, how it has changed me is I've sort of had this newfound sort of certain level of confidence in a weird, strange way that Captain America alter ego has partly maybe healed me of those insecurities.
What about bias? So many of us are talking about our internal biases, our unconscious biases. What about you? Do you have biases that you struggle with too?
Absolutely. And I found this sort of newfound confidence again as I go to schools and companies and I talk about prejudices. One of the things I'll share in my story before I give people a chance to talk about their prejudices, I'll let them know, look, I grew up in a South Asian family, and I learned very early on the notion that light skin is better than dark skin, and you do everything based on that. You marry people, you make friends, you live in certain neighborhoods and how you see people. It took me very long to get out of that notion. My parents didn't have any African-American friends, but I grew up learning and having so many prejudices about African-Americans. And even to this day, I sometimes catch myself. A few months ago, I was in D.C., Washington, D.C., going back home on a train, Amtrak to New York. And before boarding the train, I saw a black man pass me by. He had a paper under his arm, and I could see it's a Wall Street Journal. And for a moment, I thought, that's an odd image. Why does a black man who is not dressed well reading the Wall Street Journal? And I caught myself and I said, okay, that's, you know, that's kind of messed up. But yeah, unfortunately, like many Americans, you know, I've soaked in the racism that's sort of built into the DNA of this nation. And I would say that's one of the biggest prejudices that I still have to kind of work on, which is I catch myself judging black people, you know, on a periodic basis. And I consider myself somebody who's very self-aware. You know, I like to believe that, you know, I'm somebody who has very few of those prejudices, but I've come to realize we all have them. The key is to be aware we have them and not acting upon them.
I'm struck by how direct you're being about your own prejudice, because we don't hear that often. So I wonder what you would say to, I mean, here you're an ultimate example of somebody who's putting themselves out there so visibly with the Captain America costume, but in other ways, and I wonder what you would say to a listener who just can't imagine putting themselves out there and being so direct about their own biases?
All of us have prejudices. We all have them. You know, the Pope has them, Dalai Lama has them, we all have them. Our meditation is we need to be self-aware and be honest with ourselves first and foremost and say, look, you want to become a better human being? You have to look at your follies. You have to look in that metaphorical mirror where you can sort of see your own shortcomings. And your prejudices have to be in that list of, hey, this is who I am. I have these conversations in my sessions. You know, I know they get uncomfortable, but I want to encourage people, you know, look, if we want to become better versions of ourselves, as individuals and society, we're going to have to get honest about the fears we have about each other. And it's because the other stereotype we have is anytime we have a conversation about race, we think that it's only white people who are the perpetrators, right? They're the ones in the wrong. Well, that's not true. I mean, it goes all over the place. But Bill, let me ask you, can you talk a little bit about your prejudices or biases that you have?
Oh, yeah. I profile everybody, Vishwaji. I mean, I have instant reactions. I put people in categories, race, age, dress, politics. My brain is a gut reaction bias machine.
Have you ever acted on any of those prejudices or biases?
That's a good question. Certainly not in a hostile way, but the more interesting question is, who do I not help? How do I influence in ways passive and unconscious, and so I'm sure I act on those biases. I don't have a story for you, but absolutely. And I love that we are talking about this.
Yeah, and I think a lot of our biases are implicit biases, where we're not aware that in very subtle ways they're impacting our decisions, where we buy our houses, where we choose to live, where we choose to do our business.
By the way, I live in a wealthy, mostly white suburb.
Yeah, and that's okay in and of itself. You know, I'm not going to judge you for that. But I think, yeah, a lot of times I think that is part of our meditation is to ask ourselves, first of all, what prejudices we have, and maybe how are they impacting our daily, you know, sometimes small and sometimes big life decisions, and even sometimes the notion that you might see a black man in a hoodie and cross the street or clutch your purse a little tighter, you know, that's acting on those biases too. But yeah, I know. Thank you for, you know, being honest with your responses.
Cartoonist and superhero Vishwajit Singh, the Sikh Captain America. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you very much for having me.
You can see Vishwajit's cartoons at Seattle's Wing Luke Museum right now. The exhibit is called Wham, Bam, Pow, Cartoons, Turbans, and Confronting Hate. This is The Record on KUOW. That's our show for today. It's produced by Amina Alsadi, Allison Bruzek, Ajua Jimabrempong, Jason Pagano. Our social media producer is Bree Ripley. Come back tomorrow. We'll take you to Pluto. Alan Stern and David Grinspoon, authors of Chasing New Horizons, Inside the Epic First Mission to Pluto. They're my guests at noon. I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for listening. Talk again tomorrow.